I didn't move. I smelled the air coming through the window, churned up by the fan. I could tell it had turned thick with afternoon rain, but the sky was holding back. "Don't you want to see?" she said. "Just tell me what's in it." She placed her hand on the lid and patted. "I'm not sure I can remember. I didn't even remember the box till this morning. I thought we'd open it together. But you don't have to look if you don't want to. It's just a handful of things your mother left here the day she went back to Sylvan to get you. I finally gave her clothes away to the Salvation Army, but I kept the rest of her stuff, what little there was. It's been in this box 10 years, I guess." I sat up. I could hear my heart thudding. I wondered if August could hear it over there across the room. Boom, 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 boom. In spite of the panic that goes along with it, there's something familiar and strangely comforting about hearing your heart beat like that. August set the box on the bed and removed the lid. I stretched up a little to see inside the box, unable to glimpse anything, though, but white tissue paper turning yellow around the edges. She lifted out a small bundle and peeled away the tissue. "Your mother's pocket mirror," she said, holding it up. It was oval-shaped and surrounded by a tortoise frame, no bigger than the palm of my hand. I eased off the bed and slid down onto the floor, where I rested my back against the bed, a little closer than before. August acted like she was waiting for me to reach out and take the mirror. I practically had to sit on my hands. Finally, August lifted it up and peered inside it herself. Circles of light bounced around on the wall behind her. "If you look in here, you're gonna see your mother's face looking back at you," she said. "I will never look in that mirror," I thought. Laying it on the bed, August reached into the hat box and unwrapped a hairbrush with a wooden handle and offered it to me. Before I thought, I took it. The handle felt funny in my hand, cool and smooth-edged, like it had been worn down by excessive holding. I wondered if she'd brushed her hair 100 strokes every day. As I was about to hand the brush back to August, I saw a long, black, wavy hair threaded through the bristles. I brought the brush close to my face and stared at it. My mother's hair, a genuine part of her body. "Well, I'll be," August said. I couldn't take my eyes off it. It had grown out of her head, and now perched there like a thought she had left behind on the brush. I knew then that no matter how hard you tried, no matter how many jars of honey you threw, no matter how much you thought you could leave your mother behind, she would never disappear from the tender places in you. I pressed my back against the bed and felt tears coming. The brush and the hair belonging to Deborah Fontenelle Owens swam in my vision. I handed the brush back to August, who dropped a piece of jewelry in my hand. A gold pin shaped like a whale with a tiny black eye and a spout of rhinestone water coming from its blowhole. "She was wearing that pin on a sweater the day she got here," August said. I closed my fingers around it, then walked on my knees over to Rosaline's bed and placed it alongside the pocket mirror and the brush, moving them around like I was working on a collage. I used to lay out my Christmas presents on the bed the same way. There would usually be 4 whole things that T-Ray had gotten the lady at the Sylvan Mercantile to pick out for me. Sweater, socks, pajamas, sack of oranges. Merry Christmas. You could bet your life on the gift list. I would arrange them for display in a vertical line, a square, a diagonal line, any kind of configuration to help me feel like they were a picture of love.